It's the 50s on 5, keeping that big beat job alive. I'm at the cat where it's at. Coming up right now, baby. Right now on the Night Prowl Show, it is a great honor to present the legendary Earl Lewis of the Channels. Earl, are you there?
I'm here. How you doing, guy?
Coming straight out of New York, huh?
Yes, sir.
Well, it's good to have you on the show. You're one of those guys I've always wanted to have on the show.
Well, thank you.
Because I've always been a big fan of your music.
Thank you so much.
And your sound is very distinct. It's one of those things. It's like a calling card. You always know when there's a Channels record on.
good.
And thanks to your falsetto, that's pretty much what does it.
Well, you know what? That falsetto was put on the clothes you are accidentally.
Oh, please tell me more.
Yeah, you know what happened? The three guys were singing the harmony, and I was waiting to do the middle part, the channel part. And I was just fooling around with the little melody while I was waiting, and the recording company said, wait a minute, let's go with that. So they decided to put it on the record, and it became the trademark of the Channels.
So you're talking about On the Closer You Are?
On the Closer You Are, yes.
All right.
And then I said, well, I did it once, I'm not going to do it again. But that wasn't true, because it became our trademark, and it's Earl Lewis and the Channels.
Is it true that you wrote The Closer You Are?
Well, with two of the other guys.
Uh-huh.
My first song, the song I wrote, was The Gleam in Your Eyes.
Oh, I love that one.
And I wanted to record that one first, but Whirling Disc went with The Closer You Are, and I guess that was a good choice.
Well, it's become such a doo-wop classic. I mean, it wasn't a hit per se in that it sold a million copies,
right.
But it is a definite hit when you're talking about doo-wop music.
Well, yeah, thank you.
So it's one of those great songs. Now, influences. I mean, you must get asked this a lot. Like, what coming up? Who inspired you? Like, who did you want to sing like?
Well, you know, when I was a very young boy, I used to go to the Apollo Theater in New York with my sister, and I saw groups like the Five Keys, the Orioles, the Four Tunes, Ruth Brown, and those people really influenced me, but I never thought that I would be a singer. I just liked those songs. I never in my wildest dreams thought I would be a singer.
Wow. So it was just going to shows that really inspired
yes,
you.
Yes, I liked the music.
What about the radio records? Were you buying records?
Yes, buying the Ravens and, you know, buying those. Well, they were older than I, so they bought those records, and I liked them. So I just got into the music.
Now, you grew up in Harlem, didn't you?
Well, no, I grew up in on the West Side, Manhattan on the West Side.
Oh, okay. All right. So the Channels were actually the joining of two groups, correct?
Correct. You did your homework, huh?
Hey, I'm telling you, I know all about you.
All right.
So let's talk about that, like how you got together with the guys.
Okay, I was in a group with a group called the Lotharios. Clifton, the bass singer, and I were in this group called the Lotharios. And it just so happened the group disbanded, and three of the Channels heard that we used to sing with the Lotharios, so they came down, they auditioned us, and the next day we went up to this public school, PS113, and we won first place.
Hmm.
And that was the beginning of the Channels.
Why the name the Channels?
Who knows?
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Well, you know what, Earl, I can't take it anymore. I have to play The Closer You Are. It's in me and it's got to come out.
Thank you.
So let's do it right now. 1956, you wrote this with a couple of guys
right.
from the group, and this was your first record.
Yes, it was.
And it's a classic.
Thank you.
The Closer You Are. Yeah.
I'm telling you, Earl, you never sounded finer than on The Gleam in Your Eye.
Thank you, thank you.
That's a great
song. That's my favorite song, by the way.
You still like singing that today, huh?
Yes.
Tell me about the Continentals.
Oh, the Continentals. Well, you know what happened? We didn't know that the Continentals were going to be on the same recording session when we did The Closer You Are. And so they came in, and when they did that, Dear Lord, my goodness, we were terrified because we said, this song is so beautiful, The Closer You Are doesn't have a chance. And they recorded, and luckily they put out The Closer You Are before they put out Dear Lord, so we didn't have a problem with
You're okay.
Yep.
Did you have to start performing live right away as soon as the single came out?
Absolutely. 2 months later, we were at the Apollo Theater on 125th Street.
That must have been a big deal for you since you had been to the Apollo so many times seeing other groups that you
admired. Yes, it was a big deal. I mean, I was like in seventh heaven. I thought, you know what?
Hmm?
When we appeared, when I recorded my first record, The Closer You Are, I thought I was a star, but you know what my mother told me?
What?
She said, there are no stars in this house. You will take out the dog. You will clean your room like you used to, okay? And she straightened me out right from the beginning.
So. Oh, man. That kind of spoils it a little bit.
It did. I thought they would be asking me for my autograph in the house. It didn't happen.
How old were you when The Closer You Are broke?
When The Closer You Are, I was 15.
Wow. That's amazing.
It's a long time, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, okay, so 2 months later, you're performing at the Apollo Theater. What about, were you guys asked to join any of those tours?
Yes, I went on a few tours, yes. Yes, we went on tours all around the country.
Did you do any of the Alan Freed tours?
You know, I never did an Alan Freed show. Never did.
You never appeared on his radio show or anything like that?
Never.
That's interesting. Being a New York group and all.
Yeah, it was amazing that we never did. We never appeared on Alan Freed's show.
Did he play your records?
He played The Closer You Are and The Gleam in Your Eyes, yes.
Yeah, oh, okay. Cool. So, do you have any remembrances from those first couple tours that you did?
Well, it was, you know, in the New York area, we had so many fan clubs. And whenever we appeared at the Apollo, I mean, I don't care who was on the show. It was like the channel show on the weekend, you know, because all the girls would come out. But during the week, everything went back to normal.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't go on long package tours?
No, I didn't go on long package tours, no.
Did you tour the South at all?
No, I didn't. Well, we went Washington, we went...
Did you play the Howard in Washington?
Howard, yeah, we went to the Howard and the Royal and that circuit. But you know, we kept busy, we did well.
It's really sad to drive by the Howard Theater now, it's all boarded up.
You're kidding.
No, but the city of Washington, D.C. owns the theater, and I know that they have plans to reopen it eventually.
Hopefully.
So I have this fantasy that if they do reopen it, there needs to be a huge oldie show, a huge doo-wop show, R&B show,
to
open up, to rechristen the theater.
Sure, that would be wonderful. That would
be great. But speaking of shows, you put together some shows on your own, didn't you?
Well, you know, back in 1973, I had a partner called Sal Salzano, and we put on two shows at the Hotel Diplomat on 43rd Street and 6th Avenue in Manhattan. We had my hero, the Harptone, Willie Winfield. We had Willie Winfield, Arlene Smith, and the Chantels.
Yes.
The Earls, Larry Jansen, the Earls. We had Don and Juan, the Dell Vikings. It, you know, we did two shows, and they were very successful. But then I decided maybe I should stick to singing instead of producing. There's a lot of work in producing shows, and it was just like a lot of work for me.
Yeah, I can imagine. And speaking of singing, you guys have some tour dates coming up. I just want to mention, and anyone in the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area, you can see this legend live this weekend. I'm talking about Earl Lewis, of course.
I'm saying, who's he talking about?
Okay, coming up at the North Fork Theater in Westbury, New York. You're playing this Saturday night there. You ready?
Yes.
You're all loose, ready to go.
Well, I'm never ready. You know what? I'm never ready until I go on stage.
Do you still get butterflies?
Oh, butterflies.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, ask my wife. I don't even want to talk on the days that I have to do a show. I feel very nervous before I do a show.
You have fans all over the country, man. Well, they love you in Las Vegas, I'll tell you that.
Oh, that's great.
Got a lot of emails from Vegas.
I hope to be out there one day.
One day. On the 10th of March, you're playing at Secaucus High School in Secaucus, New Jersey.
Right.
And you're playing at one of my favorite places, a great place to see any type of show, Symphony Hall in Boston.
In Boston.
On the 18th of March.
Did you know that we're going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame in Boston on the 18th?
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
They do that every year.
Right.
And it's about time.
Thank you.
Well, see, you know, I've been pushing them for years, and finally, you know?
Well, that's good. Thanks to you.
So if you cats and kittens out there want to find out more information on Earl Lewis and the Channels, you can go up to their website. The easiest way to get to the website is to just go to google.com and type in Earl Lewis and the Channels, and it's the first site that comes up. So, and if you have a question that you'd like me to ask Earl, please email it to me, mattthecat@xmradio.com, and I will ask Earl.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we got a question for you right now, Earl. You ready?
I'm ready.
This comes from Long Island Bob, who's a big fan of yours. He saw your Oldies Under the Stars show that you guys performed at this past summer on Long Island.
Yes.
And he said you were one of the best groups there.
Well, thank you, Bob. Thank you.
He wants to know about your song, Gloria. Now, that's the traditional Gloria, the Gloria that is a doo-wop, just a classic. You couldn't be a doo-wop group and not sing Gloria, right?
Right, absolutely.
And he wants to know about, let's see, he says, my specific question refers to the printing on the label. It says released 1971, but it also says recorded by Brownstone, recorded 1956. He wants to know if the record was recorded in 56 or if it was recorded in the 70s.
I'm ready.
Well, he wants to know if it was recorded in 56.
Okay, this is the story. It was recorded in 1956 a cappella. Okay, and when in 1973, when I produced a couple of shows, we came across the recording from Brownstone Records. It was just like a label. I don't think they recorded anything else, but they had Gloria. So we got it from them, and we put music behind the song. So that's why the music, if you listen to the music, you'll say to yourself, well, gee, this couldn't have been recorded in 1956. But the song was recorded in 1956. We put the music in 1973, and then we released it.
That's amazing. You know, Bob's been looking for the answer for that question for about 35 years.
There you go, Bob. There you go.
So, there you go. All right, let's play it right now since we've been talking about it. So, like you said, the vocals were recorded in 56.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But the music behind it is from 73.
Right.
All right, let's hear Gloria. I mean, out of all the renditions of Gloria, of course, Earl Speedo Carroll did a fantastic job of the song with the Cadillacs, Vito and the Salutations, but you guys are right up there.
Well, thank you so much.
Ooh,